May be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18, and I want to help you tonight. Now, I'm going to probably end in a direction you're not expecting, but hang on, it'll be all right. We have been talking about look not, making biblical sense of our senses. We started with there are some things God made us not to look at. We said, number one, don't look back at our past, desiring to have it again. And I talked about that's like somebody driving forward, looking only in their rearview mirror. So many times in life, people are trying to go through life looking in the rearview mirror, and they're crashing today because they're looking behind them like Lot's wife. Then we said, don't judge people by looking at their countenance only. And thirdly, we said, we're not even to look at alcohol. God said, look not upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color, when it moveth itself aright in the cup. And God says we shouldn't even look at alcohol. And we talked about that for a while. Tonight, Leviticus chapter 18, we're going to start reading in verse number 6. And we're going to read a fairly lengthy passage here. So hang on. I want you to grasp the whole concept tonight. None of you, verse number 6, shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Or, for those of you from Minnesota, your auntie. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Now, tonight, we're going to look at this section tonight, and the Bible says that we are not to look at nakedness. This whole passage is about this. Now, I want you to understand something about this passage. And, of course, this would never happen, but if I were to hold up a picture of someone, maybe some Hollywood star or whatever, maybe there's some perverted magazine or something out there of an unclothed person, and I held it up, you would have a hissy fit, and you should, just so you know. But that's bad. But I want you to notice something. Here in Leviticus 18, it's talking about not looking at the nakedness of people that you know. It's not the stranger only, it's the person you know. It's the people in your family. America is addicted to nakedness. I'm going to say that again. America is addicted to nakedness. The new thing now is how much can we uncover and still get away with it? Can I tell you something? We're supposed to keep ourselves covered. Everybody doing okay out there? All right, I'm going to need somebody to say amen shortly here. God tells us not to be seeing the nakedness of our family members. The average home in America is filled with nakedness, but it's not on television. It's the people living inside the houses. Period. God did not intend, and I'll use this humorously, for you to sit around in your undershorts with your pot belly hanging out of your white t-shirt, eating potato chips, watching the football game. Yes, sir. That's nakedness. Amen. There's a reason they're called underclothes. My boys growing up, they were not allowed to come to the table in an undershirt, a white t-shirt. My boys at times when they were teenagers, "Dad, what's the difference? If I go put another t-shirt on, just a different color," "I don't care. That's not an undershirt." And I'd make them do it. To this day, I do not sit at the table that way. My wife will tell you, we've been married 26 and a half years. I do not eat that way. I just believe the table's a place, and I don't sit around the house in a white t-shirt. I don't do it. You say, is it sin? No, but it's underclothing. That's the way I was brought up. You say, that's a little ridiculous, preacher. I don't have problems lusting after my daughter either. Amen. Incest is rampant in America. We have brothers and sisters raping one another. We have daddies raping children. We have grandparents and uncles and aunts that are abusing people physically so fast in America. I wish you could, well, I'm glad you don't, but I wish you knew how much physical abuse has taken place in the last 25 years in this country. It's filthy and it's vile. And a lot of it's due to the fact that we just run around the house not dressed the way we should. I don't mean to be unkind. I'm going to be very blunt at times tonight. But from the time my daughter quit wearing a diaper, I have not seen my daughter's thighs, just so you know. And she's 18 years old. Everybody doing okay? I didn't take my daughter to the bathroom. I didn't potty train her. You say, why? Mama's job, not mine. The boys I'd help with, the girl, that's mama's job. Say why? Because I believed in propriety. I didn't throw both the boys in the shower at the same time. Say why? Propriety. Everybody doing okay? You say, well, that's just ridiculous. You draw your lines where you want. I just know what God says. I'm not God. And we live in such a weird society today. I don't know how true this is, but I heard it on the news, and I'm sure some of you may know more about it than I do. I only caught part of it, but somewhere somebody has been put in jail for accused of murder. Supposedly, he met someone, dated them, got married, found out that the girl wasn't a girl. It was a converted guy, and the thing ended up dead, and now they're blaming the guy that married him that didn't know that he was a she. Now, right, wrong, indifferent. By the way, I don't know he did it, just so you know. But I could understand why at that point in time. Let me say this about that, though. We live in such a weird age. That prompted me to thinking, you know, I feel sorry for my grandchildren if... We live in a world where he's or she's and she's or he's. How in the world are we going to know what people are? It's confusing. God is not the author of confusion. God was very specific as he went through Leviticus 18. He talks about children and parents. He talks about stepchildren and stepparents. He talks about in-laws. Talks about all those different relationships and how that we're not to see one another's nakedness. Parents, children, stepparents, brothers, sisters, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, cousins, and in-laws. My son has been married for a year and a half. And my daughter-in-law, and I say this often, she is our daughter. She's no different than my daughter Melinda to our family. She's just like us. She's one of our family. She shares our name, and she's as much ours as if my wife would have birthed her. That's how we feel about it. I get along with her family. We get along with her family in Florida. Her dad's an assistant pastor in Miami, Florida. He and I text each other more than she texts him. Every day he and I virtually talk with one another. Say why? Because I prayed for 22 years for God to give my son the right woman. Now that I know what her name is, why would I not keep praying that way? And they likewise prayed for my son, not knowing who he was. I told Brother Provost, you didn't pray hard enough, but it's just one of those things. Now, I say that to say this, we have stayed in their home. They've stayed in our home. Do you know, I have never seen my daughter outside of being dressed appropriately ever. I think I have hugged her 3 times. in a year and a half? Say, don't you love your daughter-in-law? Yeah, I love my daughter-in-law. Before they left to go back on Saturday, she was hugging Mindy, and she thought, wait a minute, y'all are hugging. You're going to see each other in a couple of days. And she was hugging my wife, and she walked over, and I was waiting, and she initiated it, and then she initiated a hug with me. And that's fine. I never initiate it. I'll let her do it. Say why? I want to be appropriate. You see, and by the way, I'm not perfect, just so you know. And I already know that. You don't have to remind me. But I will tell you this. Don't have trouble with nakedness at my house. My daughter didn't sit around in her nightgown with her brothers in the house or me. If she did have her nightgown on, she had a robe on that covered her from chin to ankles, and she had that thing wrapped tight, and you saw nothing. You say, did your boys sit around with their shorts on to go to bed in? Nope. We didn't sit around the house that way. I don't believe in anybody sitting around naked like that. Everybody doing okay? Boy, I'm having fun here. And I'm feeling mighty alone here. We need to be careful how we dress at home. We need to be careful. We need to be careful even how we go swimming. Just because you paint your underwear a different color and put polka dots on it and get near water doesn't make it right. If I told a woman to take all her clothes off but her underwear and walk down the street, I'd get slapped. Yet she'll do the very same thing if there's sand and water there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? What makes it right in one place and not the other? Matter of fact, some of them folks wear less than what you wear for underclothing. It's unreal. Now, wait a minute. I'm not mad. I'm just showing you what God said. By the way, I know the argument. Well, it's just family. God says, don't look at the nakedness of one another that way. Now, I believe in swimming. I've taken my kids swimming. You say, how do you swim? Fully clothed? We're covered? Say, that's just ridiculous. We had a lot of fun. I have no problem with it. Now, I'm not angry with you. I'm just going to teach you what God says. Everybody doing okay? Okay, breathe real heavily here. I know what the incest rate is in America. I deal with it. In a crowd this size, I'll promise you, there's anywhere from 3 to 5 ladies in this room that have been treated the wrong way and violated by a family member. Guarantee it. I'll guarantee it. I don't even have to ask. I know. And by the way, it's only getting worse. I'm not talking about they were violated by somebody they didn't know, by a family member. Now, everybody doing okay? The pornography in America, the average news article in America today has more pornography than Playboy did 50 years ago. Okay, better get moving here. I want to teach for a little while. God says that we're not to discover or to look at people's nakedness. Now, the question is this, what is nakedness then? That's the big issue. Now, I'm going to go back to saying something that I say often here at church. We have to decide, are we going to let God define it? Or are we going to let ourselves define it? See, man wants to say, well, you draw your line there, but I draw my line here. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. You go all the way back to the first sin with Adam and Eve. Man, Adam, Eve, wouldn't you like to decide right and wrong for yourself? Wouldn't you like to draw your own lines and be like God? You don't need God telling you where those lines are. You could be your own God. Now, understand, not everybody's been trained like maybe you have been trained. There are some very seasoned Christians here. I have some baby Christians here. I have some Christians that have been saved for a while but haven't grown because they haven't been in the right kind of church. And you have to bear with me a little bit here, but I want to help you with something that will help you. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to let the Bible tell us what the Bible says. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. God's very capable of explaining himself. Okay? God's very capable of explaining himself. Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse number 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves. What's that last word? Okay, that was like a bunch of Presbyterians. That was worse than Methodists. What's the last word there? Made themselves?
Aprons.
There you go, aprons. Now, look at verse number 21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make, what's the next word? Coats of skins and clothed them. Now, I want you to notice there's two different words used here. Man made an apron. God made coats. There's a big difference. Brother Stokes, come on up here. You're going to leave your shirt on. That is an apron. Now, come on over here and stand. You look cute in that. Well, no, Brother Stoltz has never looked cute to me. That looks cute from here down. Okay. Now, wait a minute. This is what you would call an apron. I want you to notice something. An apron will cover what man would call his most important parts to be covered. Correct? It's covering from the chest to somewhere in the mid-thigh range there. It's covering all the what we would call the private parts of a person's anatomy, unless you walk behind him. But I want you to notice something. That's what an apron covers. But I want you to notice what's not covered. Shoulders aren't covered. Around the arms is not covered. Thighs and legs aren't covered. Now, that's a little longer because I had those made for a specific purpose before, but the average apron's not quite that long, okay? Now, here's the thing. That's what man made. I did not bring my overcoat because I'm hot enough, amen? But if I brought my overcoat, y'all know what I'm talking about, it covers all the way down below my knees, okay? I have a gray one and I have a black one. My overcoat, and I don't think anybody's got one here tonight, but my overcoat would cover Brother Stoltz from here to here and lock him up, and you would see nothing. Correct? Man made this. God made a coat, which covers shoulders, underarms, all the private parts, front and back, all the way down below the knee. I want you to notice, man's definition of covered is that. God's definition is far different, correct? Thank you, Brother Stoltz. You can take that off. Now, I'm going to be very open with you for a moment here, and I'll even say a couple controversial things to make you think, all right? That is this. When man sinned, God killed more than one animal, and we don't know what animal it was. But I want you to notice verse 22 again, verse 21, I'm sorry. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, plural, and clothed them. Do you realize that God killed more than one animal to clothe Adam and Eve? I've heard people say it was a lamb because it represented Jesus as the lamb who would be slain from the foundation of the world. I hate to tell you, but lambskin isn't real good to wear. And if he only needed to cover him, he could have used the wool. I don't know what the animal was. I don't know if it was a cow and they made leather. I don't know. Doesn't matter to me. It could have been a donkey, a horse. It doesn't matter. If God intended us to know what animal it was, he would have told us. Here's what you got to understand, though. Adam and Eve had never seen an animal die. There had never been death. When God killed those animals, they were waiting for that animal to get back up. And God said it never will. Then God began to skin it. That was very graphic to Adam and Eve. Nothing had ever died before. God had to explain death to Adam and Eve. Their spirit had died, but they needed to realize one day that was going to happen to them. And God was giving them the gospel, according to Genesis chapter 3, verses number 15 and 16 and 17. He was showing them the gospel. But not only that, he had to show them that there had to be a death, the shedding of blood to cover their sin, and how one day Jesus would raise up, but man never could. He had explained death. They had never, ever seen anything die. Now, if you want to believe it was a lamb, that's fine. If you want to believe it was a cow, that's fine. I don't think it's the animal that's the issue. I think the issue is that God made them coats. Okay? Man made something out of plant life that wasn't going to last. God made something out of animal life that was going to last for quite a while. And man made something that only covered from just below the shoulders to just below the groin area, and God covered from the top of the shoulders to the bottom of the knees, because God said, outside of that, you're naked. Now that's God's definition. Turn to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. And Exodus chapter 28. Look at verse number 40. Very end of the chapter here. Exodus 28, verse number 40. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles. By the way, that's not, it's kind of just like a belt, just so you know. And bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and upon his sons with him. And thou shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them that they may minister under me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen. What's the next word? Breeches. We would use the word breeches. To cover their nakedness. From the loins, even the thighs, shall they reach. They shall be upon Aaron, upon his sons, when they come in unto the tabernacle or the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. I want you to notice something. God talks about a pair of breeches, which is a pair of pants. The real interpretation would be a pair of breeches, pair of pants. I want you to notice that wasn't the only thing they were wearing. Verse 40 said they had coats, they had girdles, they had a shirt, and they had a tight, almost like a cummerbund type thing to hold everything in place. And then underneath that way if they were doing things in the tabernacle, if they were bent over, if they were working at the altar of incense, or if they were working in the temple or the tabernacle, they bent over and they exposed themselves, they would not be found naked. God said from the loins or from the waist, clear through the thighs, they had to be covered with those breeches or those breeches. Say, wait a minute. They had coats on, and God said they could be naked? Uh-huh. To cover their nakedness. Ladies, if you ever sing or come up here to do something, my wife or my secretary will get with you, and we'll make sure that your skirt is a little longer than normal, because when you're standing above a crowd, you're going to have to make sure your skirt's a little longer than just barely acceptable. Because when you're standing up above people, your skirt's not going to be as long as you think it is. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm just being very honest with you here. I've done a lot of this. When I worked in Indiana, our platform was, I think, 9 feet high. And I know that every lady that sang there had to have a certain length skirt or dress, because you're so far up that if you weren't careful, men could look right up your skirt and see things they should not see. So the skirt had to be longer. The higher up you are, the longer your skirt should be. Does that make sense to everybody? I'm just trying to be as appropriate as I can. Now, turn to Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47. Again, we're defining what God calls nakedness, not what man calls nakedness. But Isaiah chapter 47, this will clarify it a little better for you. Isaiah chapter 47, look at verse number 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Notice, he said, you're no longer going to be called tender or delicate, and there's a reason. Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be unseen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. I want you to know something. God calls making bare the leg, uncovering the thigh, nakedness. Now, I didn't say it, God did. Nakedness is exposing the thigh. The thigh is from the knee to the hip. Okay? And it says, if you uncover that, it's naked. By the way, it's not just for a lady. That's a man too. I'm as against a man wearing shorts showing his thighs as I am a woman wearing something that shows her thighs. Now, a man's legs doesn't do anything for me. Praise the Lord. But I'll promise you, you get some woman walking through here with her thighs exposed, and you're going to watch men either doing this or looking away real fast. Say why? Because that's what man's mind and part of the curse was. He was attracted to that by sight. And a lady is to have her thighs covered. By the way, I believe a man is too. I've been principal in two or three different Christian schools. I forget. I've been in administration so many places that I forget what's where. But I will say this. When I had sports teams, my boys' sports teams had to be as modest as I would expect any girl to be. In all of the schools that I administrated, I moved my guys' sports teams to either wearing sweatpants or they had shorts that were far longer than the bottom of the knee. You say, well, what about the top of the knee? When you're going in for a layup and you got your leg up in the air like that, you're uncovering the thigh and it's nakedness and it's wrong. And I don't believe in the 1970s style short shorts either. You know, anyway, we won't go there. Can I tell you something? God says exposing the thigh. By the way, the thigh, just so you know, is either side of the leg. Ladies, be careful with the slits in your skirts. You can have an appropriate length skirt, and, you know, these Hollywood whores, they walk around with the skirts clear down to their knees, but they got a slit that comes clear up to their hip bone. Can I tell you something? That's just as bad. Guys, don't put slits in your britches. Amen? I'm not for any of the style. By the way, it amazes me. Somebody will spend $75 on a pair of blue jeans that somebody took a pair of scissors and ripped up, and they call it fashion. Amen? Got holes all the way up to the up and down. And I'm going to really get in trouble. Everybody doing all right? The new style of partially fading denim, where the thighs, front, back, or the bottom is, or the rear end is partially faded. I'm just as against that, because that's drawing attention. It's drawing a man's eyes. Everybody doing all right? Boy, did I get in trouble as a Christian school principal for that one, but I didn't care. You know, I have an 18-year-old daughter. I don't want some guy walking up to my daughter, gawking at her, wondering what she looks like without her clothing on. And how she dresses is important to me. I'm glad my daughter knows how to dress right. By the way, you'll notice, ladies, when you're dressed right, men will treat you different. I'm sure of it. I've watched it. And I'm not mad at anybody. But I want you to notice something. God calls nakedness the exposing of the thigh. He didn't say it's only for a woman. That's men and ladies. I think it's just as wrong for a man to show his thighs in public or just away from his wife as I do that is wrong for a woman to show them. My wife and I have been married all these years. I have never worn a pair of shorts. I don't own a pair. I'm not saying it's sinful. I just don't do it at all. Now, just so you know, I don't go to bed in a shirt and tie. Okay? I remember the first time people, it's funny, I remember the first time Mung saw me. She said, "Preacher, I never saw you without a tie before." We were at the church picnic. She said, "I don't think I've ever seen you without a tie on." Yeah, I don't hunt in these clothes, usually. I've taken the suit coat off, the tie off, and thrown my coveralls over top and sat in a tree stand. And it's really rough because then when you get one, you really got to roll your dress shirt up to get all the insides out without getting your shirt bloody, amen, and getting your wife mad at you. But I have done it. It's just not a regular habit, all right? Now, I say that to say this. Be careful. Be careful how you sit around the house. When my daughter was at home, my wife was constantly saying, "Indy," and they had a code. I still don't know what all that code was. I just knew when I heard her say, "Mindy," or they caught eyes and I'd see my daughter move, something wasn't quite right. I just believe in propriety. I was in a college dorm. I had 3 to 4 or 5 other men in a college dorm room with us. Do you know that we didn't change in front of each other? It wasn't like the average public locker room. Can I tell you why we have such a sick society today? Because nakedness means nothing to anybody. It really doesn't. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 21. And I am flying through this. I'll take a little bit more time on it, but I have so much other to cover here. John chapter 21, let's look at verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth, entered into a ship immediately, and that night caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." That emphasis was put in there by me. It's kind of like, "Did you kill anything else?" "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Watch this. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him. Notice the word coat. For he was naked and had cast himself into the sea. Now, just so you know, the Apostle Peter was not standing on a boat fishing buck naked with no clothing on at all. Number one, if you would have read verses 1 and 2, you find out that they were only 100 yards, 300 feet from shore. That's able to be seen by anybody walking up and down the shoreline. There's no way that Peter was going to be out there with his birthday suit on. Number one. Number two, when the sun's up on the water, you don't want to be out there with nothing on, because you're going to be sunburnt in places you should not be sunburnt. Number three, he had what was called a tunic on. A tunic was like a long t-shirt. It was a sleeveless t-shirt, and it would come down about mid-thigh, and it covered from about here to here, kind of like a, what do you call those, kind of strapped t-shirts, and then would come clear down to here. He had one of those on that he was fishing in because he was working and hot. But I want you to know something. It said when he found out it was the Lord, he grabbed his fisher's coat, threw it on him, jumped in the water, and swam the 100 yards to the seaside. And the Bible says because he did not have that coat on, he was naked. It wasn't that he didn't have any clothing on. It's just that his thighs were being exposed. And Jesus said of the Apostle Peter that he was naked. God said that in his word. Folks, we complicate the Bible way too much. We want to humanize it way too much. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at one verse here for sake of time, and then I'm going to finish up this lesson. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse number 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That means we must be careful what we look on. Men, you're going to have a harder time with it than the ladies will. I say this to men. I've said this to my boys. I trained my boys this. You can't help necessarily the first look. You can prevent every look thereafter. Somebody walks in front of you, you can't help but maybe have seen that the first time. But doesn't mean you have to keep looking the whole way across. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm having fun now. There are going to be times that inappropriate things may come before your field of vision, but what you do in that instant, do you look away or do you keep looking? Do you go back to look? Do you go back and go back and go back? Those things that pop up on your computer or on your phone or wherever you do certain things, you ought to be careful. Let me tell you how mean of a parent I was. I was so mean that I previewed every video or show that my children ever saw before they saw it, so that I knew inappropriate things weren't going to pass before my boys' eyes. I even looked at their video games. You watch the average video game, it's filled full of nakedness and violence. I didn't let my sons play games where they were interacting with prostitutes in scantily clad people. Say, well, your kids didn't play video games? They had some. You know, Atari, Pac-Man. They had a few. I didn't let my boys knew how to handle weapons from the time they were little shavers. They didn't have toy guns. It was all I could do to let them have water guns. But I did let them have water guns. Past that, my boys didn't have toy guns. They didn't play cowboys and Indians with cap guns. You say, why? I didn't want my boys pointing a gun at somebody, because when I took them hunting, they needed to know when they pulled the trigger, it meant business. Amen? It wasn't just pow, pow, pow. It was kapow, and there's no bringing that thing back. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for a boy to have a toy gun. I'm just telling you what I did, because my kids grew up around real guns. And to this day, they still, when they were back the other day, I jumped out of the truck one morning. They were hunting with us. I pulled my gun out. And the first thing my boy said was, as I got to the gate, I said, here, hold this. He said, is it loaded or not? I said, you better know it's loaded. He said, let me check safety. He said, safety's on. Good. I said, we're hunting, man. I said, just hold on to it till I get through the gate. I'm glad my boys know how to handle it. Amen. Now, wait a minute. We've got to be careful with our eyes. Fellas, we, in our society, we have to purpose ourselves to be careful with our eyes. Please don't get mad at me for saying this. God bless you, ladies. If you tell me you're in the hospital, I'll come visit you. But I'm going to have somebody with me. Now, a man, I'll show up by myself. You ladies, I'm not coming by myself. And often I'll have my wife with me. But I'll at least have another person with me. Because hospitals aren't known for being appropriate in dress. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Here, put this gown on. Define the word gown. That's not even close. Most people need about four of those to be appropriate. Amen? God have mercy. I've walked into situations and I've had my wife with me. And we'll make a visit like we did last night and other times. And if it's a man, I'll walk through the door, check things out first, and make sure the coast is clear. If the coast is clear, I bring her in. If it's a lady, she walks through the door first and makes sure the coast is clear. You say, why? Because I'm not walking in there without knowing the coast is clear. I just believe in being appropriate. And I don't ask if one of you ladies is going to have surgery. I'm not going to say, what kind of surgery is it? If you want me to know, you'll let me know, but I'm not asking. Amen? Some things just don't need asked. I'll pray for you, and that's the way it is. Now, but we've got to be careful. Even in making a crazy hospital visit, I'm that careful. You say, that's ridiculous, preacher. I was at the hospital last night, standing there talking to Fred, and were you there last night, Wally? No, you weren't there. My wife was there. And where I was standing, I could see across the hall to another room, and a lady got up in one of those gowns and only had that gown on, and I went, and I didn't look out the door the rest of the night. He said, you shouldn't be saying things like that. Well, I'm just going to tell you, that's what happened at the hospital last night. This was done 2 weeks ago, just so you know. Now, I didn't walk across the room and say, hey, honey, let's go talk to this lady across the hall. I didn't want anything to do with that room at that moment. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I just believe in being appropriate. I've been in hospital situations where they have a man and a woman in the same room, not even on the same floor or same hallway, in the same room. And it's like, okay, are you really serious here? And they are. And the world doesn't, and Wally's back there nodding her head. She knows what I'm talking about. She was her nurse. And I understand in the medical profession, there's some things that must be done. But may I say this? A man's got to be careful. Let me say this. Ladies, be careful how you dress so that you don't draw attention to a man's eyes. Be careful. I'm not saying that somebody that is a pervert, it's your fault. But I can say this. You can prevent it a little more by dressing appropriately. I didn't say it will always fix it. But I do believe this. You know, it's amazing. I can pull up to the gas station. I can watch a woman walk in. Looks like she walked off the construction site. And she's holding the door for the men. I'll jump out of my vehicle. And if my wife is approaching the door before me and somebody's coming out the door, that guy will stand there and hold the door for my wife. Without a word said. Now, he would have let the door hit the other woman in the face. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Men look at it a little different than you ladies do. You say, well, they shouldn't do that. Okay, they shouldn't, but they do. Welcome to reality. God wired us a little different than you. May I say this? Be careful how you dress to not cause a man to lust. Then, I'm going to read, take your Bible. One last verse, Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31. Look at verse number 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Wow. We Christians need to make a covenant with our eyes. The word covenant is a legal binding document between two or more people or things to keep from doing or to do a specified thing. The contract. You know, we need to make a contract with our eyes. If we're walking somewhere and my wife says, honey, don't look a certain way, I don't go, why? I say, okay, no problem. I don't even ask. I don't want to know why. I don't even want to have to process what it was. It doesn't matter what it was. I don't question it. Everybody doing okay? We need to make a covenant with our eyes, with what we see. What you see, you will think about. What you think about can bring lust and sin if you're not careful. The works of the flesh, do you know what the first part of the works of the flesh are? The lust of the eyes. Wow. It is the lust of the eyes. Now, this is a lot to swallow. I understand. I'm not angry. I'm just trying to help everybody. America is addicted to nakedness. Hollywood is filthy. Hollywood is vile. The average internet site is filthy and vile. Be careful. Fellas, if you can't control it, get rid of it. Period. It's that simple. That's what Matthew 5 teaches. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Now, I don't think you ought to pull your eyeballs out, but you could throw the stupid iPad or computer screen away, get a lock on that thing, put firewalls on that thing, get somebody else to do it so that you can't hack that thing, get around it, and just protect yourself. I'm going to go ahead and say it. You let your children on that internet and you're not on it with them, you're stupid. I'm sorry, you're not real intelligent. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to Google one thing and you're in places you should not be. Good night. I've been doing research on things, looked up a certain word, and it's unbelievable how that the world perverts everything. I mean, it's just like, whoa, how did they get that away? And I haven't even gotten to the site. It's just explaining what it is. And I'm thinking, how did you pervert it that bad? Good grief. Years ago, 5-6 years ago, I was administrating in the school, and we were looking for something for cheerleaders. And we had Googled the word cheerleader. I had two secretaries and another cheerleading coach in my office at the time, and I Googled that word, and I could not believe what came up. And I said, "Ooh, ladies," I looked at one of my secretaries. I said, "Can you get that off my screen?" I wouldn't even get it off the screen. It was so vile. I immediately contacted my pastor and said, "We need to fix something on our firewall. I was doing this, and this came up." Say why? Number one, I didn't want anybody else to just by chance happen upon that like we did. We found some little leaks in it, and we tightened it up and shored it up and got through that thing. But I didn't want anything to do with it. Everybody doing all right? We need to make a covenant with our eyes. We've got to pay attention. Ladies, if you don't understand it, let your husband look through some of those things. He'll tell you what catches his eye and what doesn't. Just trust me, he will. He'll be able to tell you. If you're rearing boys, man, is it a job. If you're rearing girls, man, is it a job. My daughter is 18 years old, and I'm not done rearing her yet. I'm not. They were back for Thanksgiving. I heard my wife say one night, we were all down in the family room, and I heard her say, looked at my daughter, and my daughter moved. I thought, I knew what it was by the way she moved, but I sure wasn't paying attention, but my wife was. And she didn't want anybody else paying attention. Everybody doing okay? And it's not because my daughter is just, but when you're, you just don't think sometimes. We just have to learn how to think appropriately about how we're dressed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. The Bible talks about us not discovering or looking on the nakedness, not just of strangers, but of the people that we live with in our own homes and our families. We need to be so cautious about how we dress.